Now, as you turn your Bibles to John, the third chapter, I want to talk about the new birth. And pressed upon my mind and heart yesterday, looking and searching and sometimes having a dry time when you come to the place of study or looking for what God would have you to preach. And just thinking about over the past week and past couple of weeks, I've had occasion to talk to others about salvation, and we talk about it all the time, how much false doctrine there is out in the world, and it just impressed upon me this morning to go over something that hadn't been long preached. I preached just about 6 months ago, but the necessity of it, and the title being, Are You Born Again? Simple question with a lot of weight to it. One must never assume that because they're churchgoers, because they're morally good, because they've done all the things that the Bible has said to do, that they're actually born again. Very important. Jesus pointedly makes this statement as he's talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes to him at night. He's a great teacher, understands many things, but he's at a loss about this thing called being born again. You understand the terminology. Being born from above or born again was not a terminology that was used in the Old Testament. You can't find that anywhere. Now, they didn't quite understand what that terminology meant, but Jesus comes and he begins talking about what that is, that it's a complete change. It's God himself that changes the heart. It's not a morality change. It's not saying, well, you know, I need to do better. I need to kind of clean up my act a little bit. I think I'll just quit smoking, quit drinking, quit cussing, doing all that. All that's well and good for morality. It has nothing to do with salvation. Amen. Not a thing to do with salvation. Those things should be present in someone that's saved, certainly. But that's an outflow of what happens when we're born of the Spirit of God. And so many times when I'm engaged in conversation with people, we'll talk and I'll ask the question, are you saved? Are you born again? And many responses. Well, I've been going to church for 20 years. And I'll simply say, that's not what I asked you. I asked you, were you born again? Well, I was baptized, you know, at the beginning of that time that I went. I joined the church, went down the aisle and got baptized, did what the preacher asked me to do. He came, and, you know, I came confessing Christ and got baptized. And that's where I'm at. And I said, that's not what I asked you. I asked you, are you born again? Well, you know, I've been in church. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I teach every week. They depend on me to do this and that and the other, and pretty much involved. You know, I go around and check on folks, make sure they're doing all right. And I say, you know, that's not what I asked you. I asked you, are you born again? You see, all those things are good and have their places, and all those things should be flow out from being born again, but it's not the answer to the question that I asked. And the reason I would ask that question is because being, quote, born again or being saved in today's society has so many meanings that are false that one needs to examine themselves and truly see if they're born again. We're challenged in the Word of God. Paul says to examine yourself, see whether you be in the faith. How often is that process to be taken on in our lives? We're to daily do that. We're daily to examine ourselves. I can't depend on what happened yesterday and rely on that for my hope of salvation. The Bible teaches me otherwise. The Bible teaches me that if I've been saved, if I'm a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ, I persevere. I press on to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm continually changing because the flesh and all these ingrained sinful patterns that were in me that I've been delivered from now need to be changed. And I'm confronted with those on a daily basis as I read the Word of God, as I study these truths. Then when I'm faced with those things, the Bible says, if I'm truly born again, I begin to change. My view changes. One time I had a view that was clouded by sin. Now God has interceded. God has saved my soul. I have become born again, born from above, and something wondrous has happened. New things begin to happen in my life. Why is that? Because I am a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ.
And so being a new creature, new things must be being birthed out of that process of being born again. And so I would like to just this morning talk about the clarity of being born again. If someone asks you the question, are you born again? You should know the correct answer to that. You should know how to respond or what that means to be born again. It can mean many things to many people. Some people just look at it as a moral issue. Some people look at it as, I'm doing better than I did yesterday. Some people look at it as a social event. I joined that church and you know, I'm happy, I'm complacent. Most wonderful people I've ever been associated with, and yet they're not born again. Their lives really haven't changed. Oh, there may be an outward change, but the motives of their heart are still the same because they're sinners, dead in sin. Jesus Christ says when we're born again, when we become a new creature, one of the most definite things that happens in our lives is when we go to do a thing, we examine the motives of our hearts. Do I really care what these people think, or do I care what God thinks? I was talking to my son, and he's had various opinions about him lately because he's gone through a bad row of stumps, as we would say in the South. He's had some hard times, and his concern, it seems like, is more or as much as what people's opinion is about him. And I told him, son, I said, you've got to forget about that. I said, it's nice when people think well of you, but I got news for you. People are not going to think well of you all the time. I said, as a matter of fact, if people think well of you all the time, there's something bad wrong with your life. Because if you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, you're bound to offend. As a matter of fact, you're called to offend. Because Jesus is not politically correct. We live in a society that's fast moving to a place where you must be politically correct or you're going to be squeezed out. That means Christianity is being suppressed more and more. But you know, they've done that in the beginning. The more they tried to suppress it, it was like putting gas out with, you know, a fire out with gas. And it just spread. And God will have His church, and His church is not going anywhere. It will survive, and it will stand in the day it needs to stand. And so when I talk about, are you born again, these are some of the things I'm talking about. You invite persecution into your life because you take a stand. You say that Jesus Christ is the only way. You get on a platform and go into a secular place and you just stand up and say, I'd like to make an announcement about salvation. Now, salvation is only one way, and that's in Jesus Christ the Lord. The only way you can get to heaven is by repenting and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. See what kind of response you get. Not very well received. Because many would say, oh, there's many ways to heaven. There's not. There's only one way. Jesus Himself said, I am the door. What does the door do? You've got to go through a door to get someplace. Jesus said, if you're going to get to heaven, I'm the door that you have to go through. Right. He said, you can try to climb up another way. He said, but they're thieves and liars. He said, they're deceivers. The Bible speaks in the latter days especially, and we've been in the latter days ever since Jesus Christ came upon the face of the earth, was resurrected, and gone back to the Father. These are called the latter days. But I believe we're getting into the latter part of the latter days because we see more and more false doctrine. Christianity is not as palatable unless you water it down and call it Christianity. See, what we have today in today's society is a lot of religion. And religion won't get you there. Yes. You can be very religious. There'll be, I suppose, as many religious people, maybe more, that go to hell than those that are outside in the kingdom of darkness. So when we talk about being born again, we're talking about the most important thing you can know in your life. We're talking about whether you're going to spend eternity in heaven with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or if you're going to spend eternity in hell where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth, where the worm dieth not, a place prepared for the devil and his angels and all unbelievers, those that don't believe the truth. So that's the reality. There's two realities there. There's heaven and there's hell. And when we talk about the new birth, are you born again? We're not talking about all these other things, these outward things that we're doing this morning, coming to church. That's great. God calls us to do that. He tells us, come out from among them. He tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. That's wonderful and good. But he's not talking about being born again, but he's talking about believers that need to do that. But that's not what makes us born again. We do that because we are born again. And we come seeking to know and worship God, and worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, because there's no other way to worship God than one way, and that's to worship Him in spirit and in truth, because God said that. Not because I said that, not because Brother Reggie would say that, or anybody else would say that, because God said that's the way I desire or command you to worship Me in spirit and in truth. Now, how can I attain to that? Only way I can attain to that is to be born again. Am I born again? I must ask myself the question continually. Am I really born again? I've, through my Christian life, doubted that many times. I've come into some hard places that we were talking about in the hymn today, and didn't fare as well as I have in other times when I realized the hand of God was with me. I was blinded by the sin or blinded by the circumstances, and you do that so long, you get to doubting. You know, I don't know whether I was really born again or not. I don't know if this is really real or not. And it goes back to that examination period, doesn't it? It goes back to how much I've studied the Word of God and really believed and embraced the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. I must at those times remind myself that Jesus is King Jesus, that He's bought me with a price, and that's His precious blood. He gave His life for me. He's imputed unto me His righteousness. Now, if that's what God says, and by faith I believe that, I believe and trust that Christ is the only way, however I feel, is it doesn't matter. By faith I believe that Christ is Lord of my life. And that helps to dispel all this other junk that floats around, that causes me to doubt, that causes me to wonder, wow, did I really experience all that, or am I just making that up? Am I really real, or am I just playing the game of Christianity? You know, if you come to church long enough, you can play the game of Christianity. We can make it a game. We can act like Christianese. We can talk Christianese. Somebody said one time, instead of Chinese, it's Christianese. We can pick up the language. We can say that we can know doctrinal truths. We can know more doctrinal truths than some people that are born again. And we can actually say them in such a way as you can understand them. But that doesn't mean that we're born again. And so that gets to be scary stuff, doesn't it? It gets to be wondrous of, man, what does it take to be born again? It takes the power of God. It takes God Almighty to deliver you from your deadness into life. It takes King Jesus, who says, I have the keys of hell and death, to give you that life. He said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And he that comes to me I'll raise up in the last day. So, when we talk about, are you born again, these are the kind of things that we're talking about. Not that I belong to a church, not that I think I'm a Christian, but what are the evidences of being born again? What are the realities that the Bible says make up a child of God that's really, truly had a change in his life? We call it many things. We call it being converted. We call it being saved. We call it being born from above, being born again, being regenerated. All these are terminologies that we can use and recognize if we understand the Bible of describing the new birth. These are things that happen to us. I'm regenerated. See, before I'm dead, and now I'm regenerated. I'm given life, spiritual life, that shall never fade away. That's the good thing about it. When we think about that kind of life, the kind of life I had before, I was heading to death. And I will yet die, but my soul shall live forever. And if I'm born again, that soul shall go back to God who gave it. And when Christ comes again, when God says the final day, I'm done with it. I'm done with that old world. He comes and He gathers it on. We'll get new bodies and forevermore be with the Lord. That's what the new birth is. But now if I don't have that, then there's another place. It's called hell. We don't like to talk about that much. Yeah. Because we get to describing that, and it's a terrible, terrible thing to think that some folks are going to hell. As a matter of fact, it's more than just some. It says there's a great majority that's going to hell. Why? Because they're not born again. Because they're yet in their sins, and they have not come to the sin bearer whose name is Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior from our sins. They've not yet thrown themselves at the feet of Jesus so that they might have this eternal life that will be with God forevermore. They've yet not done that. For whatever reason. The blindness of sin, Satan's power. But our very nature has condemned us. We have mom and daddy, Adam and Eve, that we get that from, but we can't sit there and throw rocks at them because all you've got to do is look at yourself in the mirror and you'll know that you're a practicing sinner. Yeah. Think about your thought processes. Think about what motivates you to do a certain thing. Am I promoting myself or am I serving God? And quickly we'll find out that we're sinners if we've not yet been introduced or given the grace of God to be saved. And so when we talk about this, we're talking about being born again. Again, the most important question that you can answer in your life. So what does it mean? Let's begin. First of all, we've turned to 1 John. Oh, no, let's don't do that. I better read my text first. John 3, as he's talking about the new birth. I want to get that as Jesus is speaking of that. Because he describes it in a very marvelous way, and we need to understand what he's talking about. Chapter 3 of the Gospel of John, he begins talking to a ruler, one man of the Pharisees, whose name was Nicodemus. He said there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, you know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." He recognized at least that much. Well, let's give him some credit there. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He uses this new terminology. Nicodemus is ready to learn. He's seeking after the Savior. He comes by night. The reason he comes by night because he doesn't want to be seen during the day because the Pharisees would kick him out of the sanctuary of the synagogue. So he didn't want to fool with this Jesus. That's the quickest way to get excommunicated from dead religion is to be associated with Jesus. They thought it was live religion, but it's dead religion. But anyway, here's Nicodemus coming, and he asks, he's really wanting to know the answer to this question. And Jesus says this funny, strange-sounding term, unless one is born again, born from above, heaven-born, given the gift of eternal life from God's hand. We might describe it many different ways. Unless that dead heart is opened by the hand of Almighty God, that heart that was a stony heart, as it said, I believe in Jeremiah or Ezekiel, is made a heart of flesh. Made something new, made something lively. Where something was dead, it's made alive. Man can't do that itself. Natural man can't change that process. All natural man can do what is natural in his natural abilities to do. I want you to understand that. You know, a natural man can walk up and down. I'm walking around up here. I can do that in my natural ability. One thing I can't do up here when I'm walking around is sprout wings and fly around the room. You know why that is? That's not within my nature to do that. Right. The Bible says it's not within our nature to do spiritual things. Right. As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 2 says that that's foolishness to man. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And so it leaves natural man in a dire set of circumstances. He has no hope at all. There is no hope for the natural man unless something miraculous happens to him. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Amen. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What's he talking about? He can't see heaven. Can't see the things of the kingdom. That's more encompassing than just heaven itself. Because later he'll say that the kingdom of God is within you. Isn't that a marvelous thing? Amen. In other words, heaven starts when we're born again.
for us. It's already started. We're just kind of going along here out of it, and all of a sudden we're put in it. You know, and there it is. And we're in the stream, thank God. And that stream will never end. Amen. Will never end, according to the Word of God. And so he says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, scratching his head, can't you see him scratching his head? How can a man be born when he is old? Now, how is Nicodemus reasoning this thing? His natural ability, right? How is all religion that is false religion reasoned out in their natural ability? Man comes up with some formula or some idea of what he thinks the Bible is teaching, and then he begins to tell that to other people, and other people follow like stupid, dumb lambs, and they won't study the Word of God, so you have these great followings. Some are very charismatic. They'll say things that are just outlandish, never even close to the Word of God, wondering where they got it. And I'll tell you where they got it. They didn't get it in the Bible. They say they got it out of the Bible, but it's not in there. They had to get it out somewhere else. Not in the Bible. They came up with it their own selves through their own means and their own vain imaginations is where they came from. Romans 1 explains how that process starts. Man left to himself is depraved, and he'll corrupt and pollute the Word of God. And he'll get a following. Anybody can get a following. We could fill this church building up if we just left this off. All we had to do is leave this off and put a little entertainment center in here, a puppet show, whatever we want to do, play a different kind of music, whatever. Just send out a feeler, a flyer. Our one church, they sent out a flyer to see, what do you want? What do you expect in the church? And they got all kinds of responses, and that's how they patterned their church. But it wasn't a church. It was just a body with a bunch of, a building with a bunch of bodies in it. People pacifying what innately is in them. But because sin corrupts it, they didn't know that it was true worship that they were supposed to be engaged in and not just some kind of worship. That's the reason you have this prevalent thought in today's society. And it will get worse, that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe something. The Bible teaches different than that. Jesus is teaching that right now. And Nicodemus is figuring this thing out. He's looking and reasoning from a natural standpoint. Listen to what he says. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, how foolish a thing is that? But that's all he's got. That's all he's got. He's just trying to figure out. I said, wait a minute. Now, I've been born once of a woman. I was born as a baby, and I'm an old man. He's old. And he said, how can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and then be born a second time again? No, it's not natural, Nicodemus. You're not getting it. You know that's an impossibility. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. So Jesus answered. He said, most assuredly. You always listen to him when he says most assuredly or truly, truly. He's really emphasizing. Of course, we listen to him all the time. But he's really emphasizing something when he says most assuredly or truly, truly. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. One cannot see the kingdom of God. One cannot enter the kingdom of God unless one is born again. One will never reach heaven unless one is born again, born from above. God's dealing with them in their heart. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Get this. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The flesh and the spirit are just like that. Yeah. They're at odds. The flesh is always going to do what it wants to do. Those that are in the flesh, Romans 8 says, cannot please God. Right. If you remain in your natural state, that's another way of saying that, you will never please God. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. How does one get faith? God says it's by grace through faith and I give it to you. It's a gift I give to you. Because you're being born again. You're born again. When you're born again, then you have faith to hold on
to Jesus Christ, to believe the promises of God, to serve Him in spirit and in truth. And that's the only way that that can happen. It's not within the natural realm that we will be born again. If one stays in the natural realm to the day they die, they will go straight to hell. Straight to hell. And there's nothing after death that will change that. If one is going to be born again, one must be born again while there is human life. One must come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'll just wait and get my fill of sin and just have my best time, and then toward the end I'll just get saved. It's not the way it works, folks. The Bible plainly says, "Seek me early while I may be found." You know, Proverbs has one of the most sad readings that you can ever see. When you read the first chapter of Proverbs over there, they began crying out on the Lord, and these that have been rebellious for years and years and years, and they start calling out, and he said, "I don't even hear you. I don't even hear you crawling out on my name." Deplorable. "Seek me early while you may be found," the Bible says. "Today is the day of salvation." So there's an urgency, isn't it? And when we read the Word of God, it's not something that we can just passively think about or not think about. We need to really look at ourselves before God and say, "Am I really born again? Am I what the Bible says is a true Christian? Can I answer truly?" Because I can't fool God. I don't want to waste my time fooling God. Now, all fooling around does is postpone the inevitable, and that's that you're going to go to hell if you don't come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. So we need to get honest right before God and say, "God, am I or ain't I? Am I yours? Have I truly come to the place that the Bible describes me as one of your saints, as one of your people? Is there within me a godly sorrow working repentance? Or is this repentance just something like I got my hand caught in a cookie jar, I got caught, and I'm sorry I got caught?" That's not repentance. That's "I'm sorry I got caught. I'm going to do it again as soon as you turned your back. You know, as soon as I get an opportunity, I'll do the same thing again. I just don't like the consequences of being caught." Godly sorrow is completely different from that. Amen. Godly sorrow entertains the notion there's a temptation, and godly sorrow, if we begin to get caught on it, we just cries out to God, "Father, forgive me, I've sinned against you." And there's a sorrow in that. There's a brokenheartedness. Because we've sinned against the Savior who has saved us from our sins. And notice the Bible doesn't say that He saves us in our sins, that we might continue to sin. No, He's fixed that. He's fixed that. Though there's evidence that we do that, we won't practice that. And that's the first point we want to look at if we get around to it. Probably won't get around to it today. Nicodemus asked, "Can I be born? How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit," and that water there, I want to let you know, is not baptismal water. That water there is a cleansing water. You can go back to the Old Testament and see that cleansing, where it's referring to, is a washing away, a purifying that's talking about. "Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Again, emphasizing that this is not something that you can do anytime you get ready to. This is not something within your natural ability that's innately in you that you can do. Some have said there's a little good in everybody. All you've got to do is just get them under the sound of the gospel, flame that little flame, and it'll kind of whoosh up, and they'll get hold of what you're talking about, and then they'll be saved. That's heresy. Yes. The Bible says there's none that doeth good, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that care anything about Him. They don't even come to God. The mind is enmity against God. Enmity means this hatred against God. We're born that way. That's our natural state. And left in that natural state, we're going straight to hell to pay for our sins. Not the two ways your sins are going to be paid for. You're going to pay for them, or Jesus Christ will pay for them. And if Jesus pays for them, praise God.
Amen.
If we pay for them, it's wailing and gnashing of teeth and something that we don't even like to even think about. People going away into an eternal darkness, an eternity where there'll never be any graces. We enjoy as a people, born again or not born again, the graces of God, His common grace. We get to breathe air. You can't breathe air if God hasn't allowed it today.
Amen.
If God cuts the supply off, we all die. That's part of His graces. You enjoy the comforts of life. You enjoy family. You enjoy so many blessings of God, whether you're born again or not. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust.
Amen.
He also rains blessings upon the just and the unjust. Common blessings, natural blessings.
Yes.
And so we have all that, but that doesn't distinguish. Now, what does it mean? We need to understand, what does it mean to be born again? Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. Now listen, this is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and He makes a statement. There's no more weightier words than what Jesus is going to say in this portion of Scripture. When He makes the statement, you, now you can put your name in there. I put Joey. Joey, you must. What does must mean? Is that optional? Is that a I'll get around to it kind of word. Somebody tell me I must do something. They tell me I must do something at work. You know what? I must do it or I must leave because they're going to fire me. That's a command that must be met. The option is I'll lose my job if I don't do what they command of me. As long as they're not commanding me to do something ungodly, I guess I'm going to do that. I'm going to submit to them because, again, the Bible tells me to submit to those who have rule over you, whether they're good rulers or bad rulers.
Right.
And so I wrestle with that. But I do it. I work as unto the Lord. That's something that God tells me how to live. If you're a Christian, this is how you live. I don't have any options to say, well, you know, God, I'd rather do it this way. No, God says, I tell you, if you want a mind, this is what you do. When He tells you something hard to do, and it's difficult to do, and your body's aching, and whatever it is, whatever's going on, and you got a bad attitude, you work as unto the Lord. Straighten that attitude up. That's what we're talking about, that motivating of the heart. What am I going to do? Am I going to serve God? Am I going to serve myself? Or am I going to pout like a little baby?
Yeah.
I'm going to serve God. Why? Because I love Him. Because He's changed my heart. He's made me a new creature. I'm born again. I've experienced a new birth. That's part of that coming out. We can't help but do that. If we read the Word of God and we begin studying it and we understand these principles, we're going to embrace them for the most part. That doesn't mean we do it perfectly. But we don't practice sin anymore. You see, we may fall a little bit, but we don't fall completely away because of the grace of God. God won't allow it. We were talking about somewhere the chastening hand of God. I believe in one of the hymns. He's talking about He chastens us. Why? Because He loves us. God says when you're born again, I'm not going to let you run around like a little heathen like you used to. That's not who you are anymore. Right now, you are a child of the King. We sing that. A child of the King. Well, we got to get that deep down in us if we understand what being born again is. We got to understand who we are, who our identity is, and act exactly like that, whether we feel that way or not.
Amen.
Faith says you do this a certain way, and that's the way we do it. We just line up with faith. So Jesus gives us this powerful question. You must not question, but statement. You must be born again to do what? To see the kingdom or to enter the kingdom. We could go all the way down through the different ways that the kingdom of God is used. The kingdom of God is within you. You must be born again if the kingdom of God is going to be within you. If you're going to see it, if you're going to be a part of it. And he says it this way, so that you might know it's not natural. You can use a natural example. The wind blows where it wishes. Get this picture now. Picture the wind blowing. Can you see the wind blowing? No, we can't see the wind blowing because it's invisible, isn't it? Tell you how we can see it blowing, though. We can see the results of the wind blowing. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it. You remember, you hear maybe a storm coming up or on a gentle breeze sitting on the porch on some Sunday mornings. The wind will kind of whoosh. You hear it come through the leaves. And just a real refreshing sound. Just real relaxing. You can hear a sound, but I still can't see it. I can't see the actual air, but I can see the results of that, you see. It's important to understand that. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. What is he saying? Now listen, there's a couple of things here. Does that wind blow up to, go up to that tree, and it goes right up to that tree and it stops and says, can I blow on you? Tree, will you let me blow on you? Now, isn't that the most facetious thing you ever heard of in your life?
Yeah.
No, the wind blows that tree. Sometimes it blows it hard. Sometimes it blows it down. But it rattles those limbs. They go back and forth. Somebody asks you a question. Is the wind blowing? You look outside. Yeah, I see the trees moving.
Yeah.
So you don't see the wind. What do you see? I see the evidence that the wind is blowing because those leaves are moving. I see the evidence in my life and in your life that you're born again because I see the Spirit of God moving in your life because I see it by the actions that are flowing out from the new birth.
Yeah.
See what he's telling us? See what he's telling us? And you know what? He gives us something else so that we know that we're a group that's together. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. We're all born again the same way, and the results of being born again brings about from it the same things. We act the same. We act the same. Some to a greater degree, some to a lesser degree. Nonetheless, to a degree, we act like who we are because Jesus Christ said you must be born again. You've been given a new heart. You're a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5, we say it many times, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What's he saying? Old nature gone. Well, old nature gone. Old man's gone. But all things have become new. All things. Not just a part. He doesn't just partially do. God doesn't do a thing halfway. You're dead and then you're alive. You're not half dead and then he kind of helps you along. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that you're dead in sin and without the grace of God, you're going to hell.
Yeah.
That's what it teaches. Plain and simple. I mean, it's just not, you don't have to have a doctorate to figure that one out. Just read a little bit. The natural man, his natural state is enmity against God. He hates God. He will never change from that. I don't care what you do to him. He may mimic some things, which is really worse because you make him twofold a child of hell. A lot of people sitting in the pews that have been sitting there 40, 50 years think they're going to heaven. They're going to bust hell wide open because they've never been born again. The message has never been clearly given that the new birth is not all that. It's something completely different. It's a transformation of your heart by the power of God. That's the new birth. And the results of that is, I don't want to sin like I used to sin anymore. I don't want to be a practitioner of sin anymore. The thoughts may come, I may stumble. The thoughts may come, I'll repent. I'll confess my sin. Lord Jesus, Forgive me of that sin. And you know what it says in 1 John? He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Ask Him to forgive that sin the next second, and God might even say, what? He's not going to say it that way, but just so that we might understand, God's done away with that. It's as simple as being in your sincerity. Now, I'm not talking about just mouthing words. I'm talking about real stuff now. I'm not talking about fooling around. You can't fool God. You know, all things are open in His sight. That's what the Word said. He made you. You can't fool the folks that made you. He made you. He knows everything about every detail. Knows your thoughts before you think them. Knows everything about you. And so we can't fool Him. So when I sin, I confess that sin. And although I want to be like Martin Luther and get a whip out and beat myself a little while longer and wait, 30 or 40 minutes so I can show God I really am sorry, God says, you don't go through all that. That's what my son did. He went through all that. He bore your stripes. He bore your sins. You confessed your sins. I took that sin that you just did and I put it over here in a sea I call forgetfulness. And God's done with it. And we need to learn how to go from that. We need to learn as God's people that when God is done with it, we're really in His face when we do something different. We're really not believing what He said that He's done if we act another way. Oh, I've got to just mourn around. I don't feel I got to get back in His good graces. You stand in His good graces because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, does that give me a license to sin or a license to serve? Gives me a license to serve. I want to serve Him. I want to serve Him.
Amen.
For all my heart and soul and all my inabilities and all my failings and all my frustrations, I want to serve the God of glory. For what great things He has done for me because I have been born again. Because I've been born again. Oh, there's a lot more. You're going to have to wait till next. You're going to have to come back next week. That's all the time we got this morning. God bless you to understand what the power we're talking about, what it means to be born again. Ask yourself that question. Pray about it. Am I truly born again? Again, God bless you to know the answer to that is my prayer for Christ's sake.